Bible. It'd be helpful to turn as we read from God's Word, 1 John, near the end of the New Testament, 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to pick it up at verse 28, near the end of chapter 2, and we're going to read into part of chapter 3 as well. We're going to continue our series, the series that we started last Sunday evening, a short series that the elders had asked myself to preach on. It's called Holy and Blameless, as we think about the whole area of holiness and godliness, Christian living. It's going to be very practical as we think about very specific areas of our life and how we can live lives which are holy and blameless and God-honoring. So 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to commence to read at verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident that we who are the children of God, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Amen. It's an incredible passage. It's a very, very challenging passage. If you're a Christian here tonight, to listen to those words, to take those words in, it's an extremely challenging and convicting passage. Now, we don't have time this evening to really unpack this, to really look at all these verses. There's just so much in every single verse that I read. We don't have time this evening, but it's going to be a springboard to what we're looking at tonight. And really to summarize all these verses that I read, these 12 verses that I read, it could be summarized in verse 9. Look at verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. If you're born of God, if you're really born again by the Spirit of God, if you really are a Christian, you don't make a practice of sinning. And then in verse 10 it says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. And so if you look at people and how they practice things, how they live their lives, it's really evident who's really born of God and who is still a child of the devil. Because our practice doesn't save us. It's not what we do that makes us right with God. Our practice doesn't save us. We know that we're saved by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. It's what Christ has done. That's what saves us. But our practice, how we live our lives, is evidence whether you really are genuinely saved. Because if you're really born of God, if the gospel has really gripped your heart, if you really understand who Christ is and what Christ has done for you, why would you have that desire? Why would you make it your practice to keep on habitually sinning? Now, it's not saying here that we're perfect. None of us are perfect. It talks about the hope that we have that one day we will be like him. That still waits when he comes again. But when we are born of God, we do not make it our practice to keep on sinning. This series, I've already said, is called Holy and Blameless. That phrase, holy and blameless, comes from Ephesians 1 that we looked at last Sunday night as an introduction to this series. And really, it's a great passage, Ephesians 1. It talks about all the spiritual blessings which are ours in Christ Jesus. We're forgiven, we're redeemed, and all these different blessings. And one of the phrases, it says that before the foundation of the world, he chose us to be holy and blameless. That is our standing. That is a blessing that is ours when we're in Christ Jesus. We're made holy and blameless. Even though we're not holy, even though we're not blameless, that is now our standing when you're born again. And if that's your standing, that should also be your desire. That should be what you want to practice. I'm holy and blameless in God's sight. I'll just keep on sinning. I'll just keep on continuing those dreadful sins that Christ had to suffer and die for on the cross. Is that right? No. Once we've been declared righteous in God's sight, our desire, our practice should be that we want to live lives that are holy and blameless. That is evidence, actually, that we are born again by the Spirit of God. And really, as we work our way through these 5 or 6 weeks that we're going to spend this series, it's really going to be a challenge. A challenge to each one of our hearts to take holiness, Christian living, godliness seriously. To take the words of verse 9 of chapter 3 seriously. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. It's going to be a very challenging series for my heart as I think about this. We're also going to make it a very practical series. Last week we had an introduction, but each week from now on we're going to look at specific areas. How, as God's children, we can live lives which are holy and blameless, maybe in the workplace. How we can be holy and blameless in our relationships. How we can live lives that are holy and blameless in the church, in some other areas as well. And tonight we're going to focus in how we can be holy and blameless in our thought life, in our minds. I shared this with the pre-service prayer meeting, and when I shared that, we're going to think about how to be holy and blameless in our thought life. Somebody went, that's a big one. Because that can be a struggle, isn't it? The things that go through our minds. Our mind is an incredible thing. Our minds store up vast amounts of information. It's incredible, impossible to count all the things that you have stored up in your mind. Probably for most of us, we're storing up lots of useless information, all these things that we have experienced. But our minds are vast storehouses of all this information. And often our mind works without thinking. I drove to church this evening. Not a long journey, it only takes me a few minutes. But I wasn't thinking about driving. Maybe I shouldn't say that with the police officer looking up at me at the moment, but I wasn't thinking about driving. I was thinking about the service. I was thinking about all the young youth fellowship coming back to our house tonight and how we were ever going to feed them, the hungry hordes as they come into our house and eat us bare in the cupboards. I was thinking about that this evening. And in fact, I was able to drive the car and change all the gear at the right time and get here. My mind even worked and drove me here without even thinking about it. That's how incredible our mind is, that it can do several things at exactly the same time. Our mind is the source of great imagination. You think of the great creations in the world, the great technologies. And who conceived these things? The human mind. Some people are spectacularly creative. They're able to come up with incredible imaginative things. And why is that? Why is our mind so impressive? Why is it so spectacularly impressive in what it's able to do? It's because we are made in the very image of God. That's who we are as humans. People who reflect some of the qualities and goodness of God himself. The God who made us as humans has put this incredible mind, thinking ability inside each human being. We're made in the image of God, and so we reflect that. But our minds and thoughts are also marred by the fall. The sin that came into the world in Genesis 3 that marred the world also had an effect upon the human mind. And so this incredible human mind, which is able to do amazing things, is also a mind that's capable of dwelling on the most horrendous sin. Horrendous sins are thought up and conceived and processed in the human mind. Let's be honest. Our minds can be a cesspit of sin. I hope I don't shock anybody by saying that. But I'm sure if we're all honest with ourselves, we can understand that. This mind that is inside each one of our heads can be a real cesspit of sin. Because here's the dangerous thing. Nobody else in this room knows what goes on inside your mind. You might look respectable. You might look like a pillar of this church. But you may have already allowed dreadful sin to linger and fester in your minds. Nobody else knows about it. Your spouse doesn't know anything about it. Your children don't know anything about it. Your friends you're sitting beside know nothing about it. Of course, God knows because he knows everything. But we put that to the back of our minds often, don't we? Nobody else knows. Nobody else knows those thoughts, those little daydreams that I had, the way I let my imagination run wild there. Nobody else knows. Yes, God knows, but I'm not really going to let that bother me. And we make an excuse for it. Now, obviously, the devil tempts us. The devil tempts us at different times and different ways. And temptation, as we know in itself, is not a sin. Christ was tempted, and yet he didn't sin. But here's the reality. These temptations come into your mind, but often we can allow these sinful thoughts to linger, can't we? We can let these things fester in our mind and grow, spiral out of control. And what is maybe a temptation becomes a sin that just lingers and festers and mars our mind. Perhaps you have lustful thoughts. Temptation has come into your mind, but you've let it linger there. And you've allowed your imagination to run wild and crazy. The sin has just grown and grown in your mind. Christ himself spoke about that, about committing adultery in your heart. Maybe you've got thoughts that are full of greed. Nobody else knows about it. As you interact with people, nobody will think you're a greedy person. But your mind is just captivated by maybe more possessions, accumulating more things. That's just where your mind always goes to in your daydreams. And it's just building up, and your mind is just having a real effect upon your life. Maybe your mind has been captivated by thoughts which are prideful. As you talk to others, you would never give this away, but you've got this superiority. I'm better than everybody. See my work colleagues? I'm so superior to them. These thoughts of pride fester and grow and multiply in your mind. Maybe there's angry thoughts, bitterness. Again, you mightn't give it away. As you talk to people, you're all very pleasant. Even people here in the church, you smile at them. You pretend to be their friend. But in your mind, there's just bitterness before this person. Maybe you run these imaginary conversations. If I could really just say to this person what I think. And you play through these things in your mind. The conversation you would love to have with so-and-so from the church, where you said bitter words and you put them in your place. Maybe there's thoughts of worry and anxiety. Just grips your mind. It occupies your mind and your thoughts. You never cast your cares to the Lord. You never look to him. And your mind is just gripped by things that shouldn't really be there. And if our thought life somehow was be able to put up on that screen, the things that go through our mind, those daydreams that we have, those sins that we, temptations that we linger and spiral into sins, those things that we process through our mind, if we could put them up on the screen here this morning, this evening, what would it look like? Would those words on the screen, holy and blameless, describe our thought life? Or would it be anything but? And here's the reality, let's get back to it. That's what God sees. God knows what goes on inside our mind. He knows what goes on inside our thoughts. But do we take it seriously? Do we take it seriously? Or is it just, oh, that's my thoughts. It's no harm. It's not doing anybody harm. I can't control it. Let's just live with it. Do you know what that is? That's a lazy attitude. Here's what we're told by God in Scripture. We're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and what else? Our mind. Love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. Let me read some words from the book of Romans as well. One verse, you don't need to turn to it. Well-known words. Listen to these words from Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to the world. There's a challenge. Don't be conformed. The world around us, it's sinful. It is no time for God. It doesn't know God. It's not been born again by the Spirit of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't let the world shape it into its mold. Don't let the world's thinking, its worldview, grasp your mind and your thought life. But be renewed. Let your mind be renewed by the Spirit of God working in it. And that's what we need. Well, obviously, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We're weak. We thought about this last week. We are weak. And we might have this desire in ourselves to be holy and blameless, to live lives that are God-honoring. We can't do it in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us, and to work in us by his power, to renew our minds, to renew our thought lives. And that's what we need to make our prayer, a daily prayer. Let's take this seriously. That the Holy Spirit would work in our minds, renewing them, that our thoughts might be holy and blameless in God's sight. But what else does Scripture tell us? Let's go back to a verse that we thought about last week from 1 Timothy, where it says, train yourselves in godliness. Train yourselves in godliness. The word train is a word that suggests effort. It's a word that suggests discipline. It's a word that requires personal responsibility. Train yourself in godliness. Train yourself in holiness. So how do we do this? How do we make this practical here this evening as we think how to be holy and blameless in our thought life? We've got 2 points, very briefly, just to look through this evening as we think about being holy and blameless in our thought lives. Fill your mind. And we don't want to just fill our minds with anything. We want to fill it with good things. So let's turn to another verse of Scripture. It may be helpful to have this one sitting in front of you. The book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. A very well-known verse. But it's good to come back here. Good to come back to God's Word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. What do we want to fill our minds with? We want to fill it with things which are good, which are pure, and will help us live lives which are holy and blameless. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any things worthy of praise, think about these things. Here's some ingredients to fill our minds with. Good things to fill our thought life with. If we want to live lives which are holy and blameless, here's the ingredients. Let's go with things that are true. So much false thinking, worldviews, teaching out there. Let's think about things that are true. Let's think about things which are honorable. Not go to things that are going to bring disgrace. Things that are just. What is pure? What is lovely? What is commendable? What are those things? Those are all characteristics of God, aren't they? They're godly characteristics. Let's fill our minds with these things. That's what it says. Think about these things. So how do we fill our mind with these godly ingredients? How do we think about things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely? All these commendable things. How do we fill our minds with these things? How do we have a Christian mind? Well, let's be intentional. This just doesn't happen. As we said last week, it doesn't happen by this process of osmosis. That's where you put something beside your head, go to sleep, and suddenly it all gets transferred into your mind and your thought just by some weird process. It needs intention. It takes some effort. It takes some training ourselves in godliness. And the best way to fill our minds with things which are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely is to fill our minds with Scripture, with God's Word. Now this might say, well, that's what you always say. And the reason we always say spend time in God's Word is because there's truth in it. The way to spectacular holiness is through ordinary means. Isn't that true? The way to spectacular holiness is through ordinary means. Ordinary means that God has given us to help us live lives which are holy and blameless. And so we come back time and time again to these basics. Let's fill our minds with Scripture. Because God's Word is a Word that is true, and it's honorable, and it's just, and it's pure, and it's lovely. And so we need to saturate our minds with God's Word. That's the way to get a Christian mind, through His Word. 2 Timothy says these words, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. And then it tells us what it's profitable for, what God's Word is useful for. It says it's useful for teaching, it's useful for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. That's what God's Word is profitable for. It's for teaching. That's telling us what's right. Reproof, telling us what's wrong. Correction, telling us how to get right. And training in righteousness, telling us how to stay right. And so we need to saturate our minds with things which are lovely and true, that are beneficial for us. We need to regularly feed our mind. That's why we need to listen to Scripture. That's why it's good to come to church. That's why we read God's Word. It's read at the start of our service, read during our service. We want people to hear the Word. Let it come into your minds. Let your thoughts be on the Word that you hear. Listen to sermons as God's Word is explained, not just here in church. We have so many opportunities to listen to the Word of God. You've got a commute in the morning, maybe half an hour into work or something like that there. Why don't you put on some Scripture? Listen to Scripture or a sermon or something like that. Anytime I go on a lengthy journey, I don't go on too many lengthy journeys because I spend most of my time driving around Carrickfergus. About 5 minutes is about the length of most of my journeys as I visit people from the congregation here. But anytime I go on a lengthy journey, always be purposeful to put something on that will fill my mind with things which are good and true and honorable. I'm not talking about the Stephen Nolan show here. I'm talking about something that can be of benefit for my mind and for my heart and for my soul as well. Let's listen to Scripture. Let's spend time systematically working our way through Scripture, making it a daily habit, training ourselves in righteousness. That's why it's good to be disciplined in your reading of Scripture, because you want it to get into your mind and into your thinking as well. Now, I know some of you struggle with reading. Maybe some people are dyslexic or they find it difficult to concentrate, but there are so many different ways, listening to Scripture or other things that you can use that can be helpful for that. But it's not just reading God's Word. We need to study God's Word. We need to take it seriously. Have you ever read God's Word? Maybe you're following a Bible reading scheme. I'm guilty of this. And you've got a number of passages to read each day, and you read your passage and you tick the box, I've done my reading. But what have I just read? Nothing. My eyes have seen the words, but my mind hasn't engaged with it. And so what we need to do with Scripture is not just read it or listen to it. We need to meditate upon it. How often do we do that? The word meditate, as it's used in the Old Testament, is actually a word that means to mutter. They say that talking to yourself is a sign of madness. But actually that's what meditation is, as you mutter to yourself, as you work God's Word through in your mind and in your thoughts. I wonder, is that a spiritual discipline we do? Yeah, I read my Bible every day. I tick off what I've done. But do we ever meditate on what we've read? And sometimes that encourages us to where less is more. Because sometimes you need lots and lots of passages, but it's hard to take it in. What are the implications of the passage? What are the application of that passage? But sometimes reading a smaller bit helps us to meditate upon it, to take the time to ponder. What have I read? What does this mean? How can I fill my mind? How can I pray this into my heart and into my life as well? Meditation on Scripture, is that something you practice? It's a great thing for your thought life and for your mind. It's a great thing to help you live a life that's holy and blameless in your thought life. Fill your mind with things which are true and pure. Mutter them to yourself. Meditate. Think about them. If you're getting up in the morning, you get some time, read some verses of Scripture. Maybe you should travel to work tomorrow. Why not switch the radio off, spend some time just thinking about what you've read, processing it in the mind, and praying it into your heart and your life as well. Not just meditating upon Scripture, so we think upon things which are true and honorable and just and pure. What about the memorization of Scripture? I think sadly what we do is we leave that for children. That's what we do for our Sunday school kids. They're given verses to learn, and they learn verses to get a prize, maybe a bookmark or a sticker. They've learned all these verses. But what does Psalm 119 say to us? I have hidden your word in my heart. For what reason? I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And how do you hide God's word in your heart? Where does it start? By putting it into your minds, as we learn it, as we memorize it. Very helpful, particularly as we fight temptations, those temptations that come into our mind. When Christ was faced with temptation, how did Christ overcome temptation? What did he do? He quoted Scripture. I've hidden your word in my heart, in my mind, that I may not sin against you. Let's think about your struggles. Let's be very personal here in your own thinking as we process this. Make it practical for you. What are your struggles? What are those struggles that go through your mind, the temptations that you face? They may be very different from the people sitting beside you. But are there verses that could be very helpful for you? So maybe you do struggle with lust. It's a huge one. Many people struggle with that. Think about some passages of Scripture that speak to that. Maybe some of the Proverbs, some of the teaching from the New Testament. Are there some verses that you could learn and hide in your heart that you may not sin against the Lord? And so when those temptations come and when those thoughts which are impure come into your mind, that you have God's word there that you can meditate upon because you've memorized it and you've hidden it in your heart. Maybe pride isn't the problem. Scripture, specific scripture, why not look them up? Write them out, learn them, hide them in your heart, let them fill your mind as those temptations come. Maybe it's anger. There's specific verses on anger or worry that you could learn. Think of Philippians 4, it talks about the peace of God that passes understanding when you feel overwhelmed by anxiety. Those verses of scripture that you can bring to your mind and meditate and help you to live a life that is holy and blameless in your thought life. How else do you fill your mind with good things? Well, good company can be helpful. Good company as we talk to people. Some people have an edifying effect upon you as you chat to them. Their conversation's wholesome, it's pure, and it's helpful, it's spiritual, and it encourages you as well. And there's other people that can drag you down because their conversation is anything but edifying. And so seeking out people who will be good to have a chat with, having good discussions with people, spiritual conversations, engaging your mind. Another way of filling our mind is to read good Christian books. Whenever you take time to do that, to think about things, maybe switch the TV off for a while to spend it. I know not everybody's a reader, but there are books that can be very helpful. And there's lots of books. There's some books which are unhelpful, but there's lots of Christian books that can be very helpful. As we think upon this topic that we're looking at the moment, being holy and blameless, I've just picked a couple off my bookshelf that I would recommend that I find very helpful on this issue, and they're edifying for your mind and your thought life as well. Here's a book by Kevin DeYoung. Any book by Kevin DeYoung is always good. This one's called The Hole in Your Holiness. I would recommend it. And this is one called Disciplines of a Godly Man. There is one called Disciplines of a Godly Woman, if you're feeling left out on that. And I'm sure the book now has a very different cover, because I was flicking through this. This was given to me 21 years ago when I was a student. A man called Steve Wright, who was an elder, he is an elder in Newton Breed of Baptist, some of you may know, give me this book, because he wanted to invest in me and wanted me to live a life that was godly and holy and blameless. It's a great book as we think about holiness. And actually, there's a really good chapter in this book about the discipline of the mind. It's extremely helpful. And so this is a good way of filling our mind with things which are holy and just and pure. So that's the first thing. Fill your mind. And then secondly and lastly, guard your mind. We need to fill our mind with things that are good. But training in godliness requires avoiding things. You think of the athlete training, being disciplined, taking responsibility. There are things that he'll do which are beneficial, but there's other things he'll want to stay well away from, or she'll want to avoid because they're a hindrance. What do we need to avoid? What do we need to avoid that are things that have effect upon our mind and our thought life? Well, that will be different for different people here, because different people will struggle with different things. I could stand up here this evening and say, well, I don't think any of you should have a television in your house, because there's things on TV which aren't pleasant, which aren't helpful, so just throw it out. I think that'll be beneficial for everybody. That would just be legalistic. But the reality is, some of you may struggle with that more than others. So we don't want to get down to a list of what's right and what's wrong. But the Bible doesn't just talk about what's right and what's wrong. You know what the Bible also talks about? What's wise and what's foolish. And that's a good thing to think about. What are things for you which are wise? Those are the things you want to go to. And what are the things that are foolish? Those are the things you want to avoid. So think about your struggles in your thought life. Let's be specific. What things would be wise to go to, and what would be wise or foolish to go to? Perhaps television might be a problem. You come in, you're tired, you sit all night, hour upon hour upon hour, just watching junk, trash, things where immorality is just there and it just washes over you. You're immune to it. It doesn't disturb you. The language doesn't distress you the way it once did. Maybe you're filling your mind and your thoughts with things which aren't helpful. And so these things are just occupying now your mind and your thought, and you haven't even thought about it. But maybe it's not watching TV is the problem. Maybe you're sitting there with your family and it's not a problem. Things come on which are inappropriate. You know when to switch off when there's people there. But maybe it's when you're watching television on your own. That's the struggle. And you need to guard your mind, because the temptation is just there to fill your mind and your eyes with things which are not helpful. Maybe you're somebody's got a television in your bedroom, and that's a problem. It's fine when we're watching in public, the rest of the family, but in there, that's not good. And maybe the wise thing to do would be to remove it from that situation. Television is probably not the biggest issue now. The internet is probably the biggest issue. We spend so many hours every day because it's so convenient, just on our phones, on our tablets, on computers. It can be very beneficial. It can be very edifying. It can also be very dangerous because there's so much junk, there's so much filth, and there's so much immorality that's just finger touch away. Maybe that's a struggle, and we need to guard our minds. And maybe we're on our own and just the temptation to look at pornography or to look at things which are not helpful in any way are there. Let's guard our minds. What are the wise things we need to put in place? Maybe if we struggle with this, we need to get rid of a smartphone. Maybe we need to go back to having a basic phone that just makes a phone call, sends texts. That might be a wise thing to do. Now, we'll never get to the root of the issue. You've still got a heart issue that you need to deal with. You need for the Holy Spirit to deal with that. Maybe it's lust or whatever you're dealing with. But are there wise things you need to do to guard your mind, because you slip into it time and time again? Perhaps there's certain people you need to avoid. You know, I sit down at lunchtime with a certain person. I just know the conversation is just going to go a certain way, and it's just going to fill my mind with things I don't want to think about. And maybe if it's possible, you need to take yourself out of those situations. Let's take it seriously. I could give lots of different examples, and maybe even touch on the ones which are your issues. But be wise, don't be foolish, and let's guard our minds. Sometimes accountability can be very helpful, and here's why. The mind's such a private thing, it's such a personal thing. Nobody else in this room knows what happens in my room, in my mind, apart from you. And nobody else knows what happens in your mind apart from you. Okay? Nobody else knows. It's such a private and personal thing. And sometimes we just let it fester because nobody else knows. Sometimes it's good to share with somebody the struggles that you have. Now, I'm not saying you come up to the front of the church and have a confession in front of the whole room. Here are my struggles. And here's the thoughts that go through my mind. There's no need for that. But maybe there's a wise Christian or a mature Christian. You come alongside and say, I want to be honest with you. I struggle in this area. I'm sharing this with you. Not so you can gossip about it, but I want to. Maybe you could pray with me as I guard my mind and I fill it with things which are pure and which are wholesome. And maybe you could ask me some questions in the weeks and the months that lie ahead, hold me accountable to it. Because that's what we need to do. We need to be concerned for one another spiritually. That's part of the church. That's what we're called to do, to take an interest. You know, if somebody's sick in the church, physically sick, we all take an interest. People come round with meals. We come round. Can we help you? Can we take you to appointments? We show the care. That's great. That's what we should do. But we should also be doing that in people's spiritual health. Is there somebody maybe you can share with? Here's my struggles. Can we pray about it? Can you hold me accountable? Because once I've shared that, that'll be helpful in the future. I'm not just holding this and struggling through. Maybe it's a spouse you need to share it with. Or siblings, something like that there. So let's take it seriously. Let's fill our mind with things that are good, and let's guard our mind against things which are unhelpful. Maybe tonight, as I've worked away through some of those things, just very briefly, that's all we've had really time to look at it tonight. As we've worked away through it, maybe you're sitting there feeling a bit of a failure and saying, you know what? My mind is a cesspit of sin, if I'm honest. If the thoughts of my mind were put on that screen, I would have been humiliated this evening. And maybe you're feeling a complete and total failure. Well, here's what we always need to come back to, because none of us are perfect. Remember that the grace of God is able to deal with every sin. And even the vilest sin that goes through your minds and your thought life. And forgiveness is always found at the cross. If we confess our sins, He, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as we think about our minds this evening, let's confess our sin if we need to. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to renew our minds, and then ask Him to help us to fill our minds with things which are good and wholesome and pure, and help us to guard our minds against things which are harmful. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You for this call of for godliness and holiness that we find in Scripture. Help us as a church to take it seriously, to train ourselves in godliness. And we pray for our minds. We pray that our minds would be not captivated by the things of the world, ungodly worldviews, sinful thoughts. But help us to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. We pray for the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, to work with all his power in our hearts and in our minds, making our thoughts pure. May we have a greater longing to fill it with truth. May we be people of your word who not only read your word, listen to your word, but meditate upon it. Fill our minds with it and pray it in. May we be people who memorize your word and hide your word in our hearts that we may not sin against you. And help us, like Joseph, to flee from sin. Guard our minds. Be disciplined. Be wise in the decisions we make, that we may not have our minds occupied by things which will harm our walk with you and ruin our testimony as well. Help us, we pray. And we thank you that forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ. We thank you that there is no sin that we can commit that goes beyond the grace and the love and the mercy that Christ showed for us on the cross. We thank you for forgiveness. And we pray, Lord God, that as we confess our sins to you this evening, you might forgive us, equip us, and renew our minds for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.